I am in Christ, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. We are a free people. Listen, I don't want to be anyone's prisoners, because there's only two chains in this world. Satan's or the Lord Jesus Christ.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of Philippians. Pastor has titled this next message, What Chains Do. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're going through Philippians. What a great study. The epistle of joy, and that's what we're going to return to this morning. We're going to begin in verse 12 of chapter 1 and go all the way to verse 26. You know, I really love Paul the Apostle. And, you know, maybe in your younger years when you were a baby Christian, you thought, man, Paul, he's just a difficult guy or whatnot. But you know what? I have lived now over 40 plus years with the Apostle Paul. You know what I mean? And I tell you that I love him. I tell you that I respect him. And besides Jesus Christ, our Lord, Paul has taught me the deep things of the Lord, the deep things of God. And you know, I've taught through the epistles at this church now. This is the third time to teach through the New Testament, and this is the third time to be teaching through this great epistle of Philippians. But let me say something about Paul the Apostle. Besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is no greater example of a living sacrifice in the Bible than the Apostle Paul. Oh, listen, I can't say imitate me. Paul did. Do you understand? Oh, he said, follow my example. I can't say that. I want to say that, don't you? But that's what he said. Listen, this is a man of God that he loves the Lord with all of his heart. So this morning, I want to talk to you about what chains do. Can you say that with me? What chains do. What does a chain, what does it do? It makes you a prisoner, doesn't it? So we're going to learn about that this morning. Let's begin this morning after Paul's, remember last week he finished his prayer, the great prayer, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 1. Paul now, when his prayer is complete, he says this very important word. He says to the Philippians, he says to us, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now listen, Paul is in Rome. You know that. He is in prison. And he says, I want you to know beyond a shadow of doubt. Or another translation says, I don't want the things that I'm about to say, I don't want you to be misinformed. But misinformed about what? And he says, the things that have happened to me. A great word from Paul. You know what? If you want to know the things that happened to Paul, they're recorded for us in the book of Acts, beginning in about, chapter 21 all the way to chapter 28. You remember how Paul was hated by the Jews and by the high priest and all the religious rulers, and how they tried to kill him. They tried to beat Paul to death, and he was rescued by a Roman centurion and so forth. You know, and so Paul, you know, he has to go before Felix. And when he went before Felix over in the book of Acts, you know, Ananias, the high priest, they hired a high-profile Roman orator, which is really an attorney, Tertullus. And it says here, it says in Acts 24:5, Tertullus says to Felix about Paul, listen carefully, for we have found this man. He doesn't even call him by his name. He says, we have found this man to be a plague, a pest, an insect. Are you following me? He says, we found this man, Paul, in other words, to be a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews, and listen to this charge, throughout the entire world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, in other words, the followers of Jesus. You know, Paul the Apostle was standing there. Felix was right there. And here is Tertullus. And he didn't say, this is the man who raised people from the dead. He didn't say that. He didn't say, this is the man that was called up into the third heaven and saw things in heaven that he could not even talk about. He didn't say, this is the man who, if you removed the sweat apron or the rag around his neck and sent it out to people that were ill, they would be healed. If they had demons, the demons would leave their body. Remember? Man, he didn't say that at all. He didn't mention any of the good things of Paul. They hated Paul. And you know what he said? He said, you're just a pest. You're just a plague. You're no better than an insect, and you deserve someone to stomp you to death. That's exactly what Tertullus was saying. And then after that defense, these things that happened to me, Paul doesn't tell us in this epistle. But he then was, what, his defense, he went to Festus, and then he went before King Agrippa. And then finally, after King Agrippa, Paul the Apostle appeals to Caesar, who is Nero, loved one. He gets on a ship bound for Rome, the shipwreck. You know the whole story, how they're the shipwreck at Malta and so forth. Finally, they arrive at Rome. Of course, he's in prison, and he's in prison for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Question, was Paul the Apostle in those chains now, was Paul the Apostle in the perfect will of God to be a prisoner in Rome? Absolutely he was. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 23:11 that Jesus stood by Paul that night, and he says, Paul, as you have testified, well, actually says, be of good cheer. You don't have anything to worry about, Paul. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you will also testify about me and bear witness at Rome. When Paul said, I don't want you to misunderstand about these things that happened to me. Listen, Paul didn't say anything about his suffering. He didn't say anything about his trials, his tribulations, his loneliness. He didn't even say, why did these things even happen to me? That's what we would probably say, amen? No. My question this morning, just a quick question. What is your attitude about the things that happened to you in your life? The trials and the tribulations and the circumstances and so forth. You know what Paul said? Paul said, the things that happened to me, they're not even worthy of being mentioned to you. That's what Paul said in his word there. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me, look what they've done. All these horrible things that's happened to Paul, they have actually turned out for the what? Furtherance, that's a very important word. The furtherance of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The things that happened to me, Paul said, listen, oh, for this church right now to be saying that in the midst of this pandemic, to say, oh, the things that have happened to us, you know what? They're actually turning out for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, we have thousands of people that listen to us online that before the pandemic, that didn't happen. Do you understand? Hello? Yes. Man, thank God for what God is doing when we think God maybe is not doing anything. He's working for us, amen? He's working to spread the good news, the furtherance of the gospel. And that word furtherance is a beautiful word, loved one, in the Greek. It means this. It's a picture, if you will, of a pioneer army, a woodcutting army. And they all have axes, okay? And what they do, they go through areas that have never been penetrated. They go through and they cut down, they remove, they penetrate, they make a path for the army that's supposed to be coming through to advance, to go where they have never been before. That's what that word furtherance means. So here is Paul, the greatest apostle, writer of 13, I think 14 books of the Bible, and he is in chains, and he is chained to the wrist. That's how they did it back then in Paul's day. They would put the chain on Paul, and then it would be so long, and they would chain it to a Roman soldier. Now listen, he was chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day, his entire time in prison, and they would change guards either every 4 or every 6 hours, a new guard would come in. Now, Paul's telling the church at Philippi, evidently they were kind of worried. They were saying, well, Paul, you're in prison. Your ministry, I mean, surely is over now, and so forth, you know? And Paul says, what? My ministry is what? Confined or over? He says, here I am in chains, and he says, my ministry, the good news, it's advancing, and it's nothing is hindering the gospel. Think about it. God can do anything, amen? Oh, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He says, no, I am breaking new ground into new territory, and the good news is being spread. Listen, can you imagine? There's Paul. I mean, you know, each new guard to Paul the apostle was a new hearer. Do you understand? I mean, you could just hear him. Did I ever tell you about the Damascus Road? Now, he could speak Greek or Hebrew or Latin. Do you understand? And maybe other languages we don't know of. I mean, let me tell you about that light that shone down when I was blinded. Let me tell you when I was Saul of Tarsus and persecuted the church. But, oh, how God has moved. How I'm a different man. Every new guard was a new hearer. Do you understand? Over and over. Listen, what would I be hearing? Let's be honest. What would I be hearing if I was chained to you right now? Stephanie, what would I be hearing if I was chained to you? No one wants to answer that one. I would be going, to some of you, I'd be going, are we going to watch Netflix forever? You know, oh my gosh, please, please, do you talk? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you have any words to say? You know, are you going to look at Facebook? Oh my goodness, who cares what other people are doing? Yeah, no, they heard nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the chains of Christ do to a person. Amen? He said, oh, talking about Paul, he says, oh, the gospel's being spread. Now watch verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest, my chains are in whom? They're in Christ. Listen, did you catch that word whole? The whole palace guard, that's Nero's area. That's not way out in Rome. That's right there where Paul was imprisoned. Do you know the whole palace guard? That's the elite of Rome, the soldiers. Do you know how many Nero had? 9,000. Think about that. He says, oh, everybody, all 9,000. Boy, they're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. They know all about my chains, that they're not in Nero, they're not in Rome, but they are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen to me. No matter what you're facing, if you are a believer, God doesn't waste your trials and your circumstances. You do. But God doesn't. He never does that. See, we have to look at trials and the things that are in our life as opportunities to serve the Lord. And that's what Paul did. Paul says, listen, I don't know about you, but my chains are doing something. The gospel has been advanced not only to the Roman soldiers, but to Nero's own very household. When Paul finishes Philippians, when he closes it out in chapter 4, we get down to verse 22. Listen to what Paul writes. He says, oh, all the saints greet you. But listen carefully. But especially those are the saints who are of Caesar's, that's Nero, Caesar's household. Loved one. Paul said, it's evident to everybody. Even Nero knows about this. Even his household knows about that. He said, my chains, man, they're in Christ. They're not in Rome. Listen to me. Do you think that Nero, Caesar, the whole palace guard, do you think they had any idea when they put those chains on Paul, they were probably thinking he's restricted? No. It released the good news. It furthered the good news. It advanced the good news right there. Man, listen, Paul was in prison. What did he do? He was an axe cutter. He was clearing away. He was penetrating into new territory for Jesus Christ. And listen now, one man chained to Christ took it all the way into the very heart of the Roman Empire, or Rome. Think about that. You see how powerful God is, how powerful the Holy Spirit is chained to Christ. You can do anything, amen? And that's what Paul was saying here. You know, and he says, and I think about that, and I said to myself last night, and I said, Calvary Chapel, we are chained right now to a pandemic. But are we complaining about it? Are we going to use this to further or to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen? Listen, we're right where God knew we would be. If we're where God wants us to be right now, we ought to be rejoicing. Amen? Amen. Let's get on fire, man. Let's get excited. God, what do you want to do in this pandemic? How do you want to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in this pandemic? How can you use me, Lord? I mean, we're in the middle of relaunch. Let's look at these circumstances as opportunities to advance the gospel. And some of you may say, well, Bill, how can I do it? I'm working from home. I can't get to my office. I've got, or I'm a single mom. I'm raising three kids and I'm chained to those little children. I have to homeschool them and I have to this and that. And that's hard. Listen, Warren Wiersbe, who's gone home to be with the Lord, spoke into this about the things that are occurring in life. Listen carefully. Wiersbe says, I was recovering in the hospital from a serious automobile accident. I received a letter from a total stranger who seemed to know just what he needed to say to make my day brighter. In fact, I received several letters from him, and each one was better than the one before. When I was able to get around and was well, I decided to go meet him personally. I was amazed to discover that he was, number one, blind, number two, a diabetic, number three, his legs had been removed, and that he lived with and cared for his elderly mother. If ever a man ever wore chains, this man did. But if a man was ever free to be a pioneer or the furtherance or to advance the gospel, it was this man. Loved one, listen to me. You know what? We can't let the pandemic, or when the pandemic is over and whatever is coming after the pandemic, stop us from advancing. Do you understand? We not only are in the midst of a relaunch, but every Christian at Calvary Chapel, pick up your axe. Do you understand? You are a pioneer woodcutter going through something we have never been before, and it's going to take us to where we've never been before if all of us get involved. Amen? And that is exactly what we need. Paul said, listen, my heart, my life, my chains are not in Rome. My chains are in Christ Jesus because he brought me here. My heart, my mind, my will is chained only to the Lord. And you know what Paul's saying to us? He said, you see my chains? You see what happened in the palace guard? You see what happened in Nero's household? It has had a great effect on others. And our chains can have a great effect upon others if our chains are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So Paul, now he goes, his chains take us from the Roman guards to the city of Rome. Watch this in verse 14. And he says, and most, that's not all, but most of the brethren, meaning the brethren at the church of Rome, the Christians, he says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, watch this, having become, they weren't before, but having become confident of my chains, in other words, Paul's chains had an effect. It gave them courage, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Loved one, listen to me. What we do and how we do things in times of adversity, you know, it has an effect upon others. Amen? It can advance the good news. It can glorify Jesus Christ. And it says they were more bold to speak. If you look that word speak up in the Greek, it doesn't mean to preach. It means, speak means everyday conversation. Rome was flooded with the topic of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's chains in Christ did to Rome. Think about it. Just one man did those things. And watch this now. Look at the other effect it had. Now, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife or contention, okay? And some from goodwill. In other words, wrong motives and right motives. So some at the Church of Rome, I don't know, we're not really told. Obviously, they must have been envious of Paul. Not only that, they were seemingly resentful of his influence. They were jealous of Paul, considering him maybe a threat to their very own ministry. And then in verse 16, it says, and the former preached Christ from, how sad, watch that, selfish ambition, not sincerely. I can't imagine a man of God, a woman of God, preaching Christ insincerely. Isn't that heartbreaking? Oh, he says, oh, the farmer preached Christ, selfish ambition, not sincerely. Why? Supposing to add affliction to my chains. They want to hurt Paul. He's already in prison. What's wrong with these people? They're believers. Listen, what is selfish ambition? Well, for a believer, it's to get to the top no matter what, any way I can, and not worry about the cost or the consequences or the effect it has upon other people. No, that's a sad thing. And look at verse 17, talking about the effect of Paul's chains. It says, but the latter out of agape, out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. So with all these right motives and all these wrong motives and all the things that were happening outside of the palace or the prison there in the city of Rome, in the church of Rome, how did that affect Paul? What was his mindset? What was his attitude? Look at the next verse in verse 18. He says, what then? Or literally, let me give you another version. Or, how do I feel about this, Paul says. Now look, let's see how Paul really feels. Only that in every way, whether in pretense, and that word literally means you're sharing the word, but it's only to be seen by other people. You want people to see you. Whether in pretense or in truth, literally speaking the truth in love, the good news of the gospel, he says, whether it's in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and in this I what? He says, man, I'm jumping up and down. I rejoice, and not only that, I will rejoice. Why was he full of joy? Because everywhere Christ is preached, and that is always the true example of a servant of God, of a pastor of God. You understand? Always. In other words, Paul is saying here, and I agree with it 100%, you know, I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care, man, as long as Jesus Christ is out there and he's being exalted and preached and the good news is being spread. Amen? That's what he's saying. Listen, over the years at Calvary, you know, nearly 30 years now, listen, you know, I have people that come in and they're good people. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they come out of the Calvary Bible College or out of another Calvary and they're called to Texas. Hallelujah. They're called to the Lone Star State. That's why we have, you know, class 101 on how California people can adapt to living in Texas. I'm sorry. It's a joke. And they come to the promised land. They believe God has called them to the promised land. I cannot tell you how many have come here. And I listen, it's okay. And they say, Bill, you know, they sit here for a couple of weeks. And I get to know them and say, and well, the Lord's called me here to start a Calvary in Texas. I praise the Lord, man. What city are you thinking about? Where? He said, this is about three times this happened. He said, we're about two blocks from here. And I go, yeah. I said, oh, okay, two blocks from here. Or you mean on the same street? You mean you want to come on the foundation that I've labored all these years and the church has labored and you want to get on our foundation? You don't want to go out and work? You want to steal the sheep at Calvary? I didn't say any of those things. But I thought it. Yeah. Here's what I always told them. Honestly, I told them. I said, listen to me. If the Holy Spirit of God, if he's called you from whatever state to plant a Calvary chapel, and if God, the Holy Spirit, told you to plant it right next door to this church, I want you to know that you have my full support, and I will do anything to help you establish a work in this city. You understand? Yes. Man, I want Christ preached. But that's only if God truly did that. Now, I don't believe that he did, but you see what I'm saying. Yeah, praise the Lord. So listen, so don't anybody get any ideas. No. No. Oh, listen. Paul said, listen, my chains, what people think, oh, it's advancing the gospel. It's taking it to where going where no one's ever gone before, even though their motives were wrong, and even though some motives were right, even though some were preaching the gospel insincerely, Paul said, oh, I am rejoicing. Let me tell you something. I have seen people, I know people, evangelists, pastors, some of them, not, of course, very few, only the ones on TV. No, I'm joking. They preach the gospel, but it's insincerely. Do you understand? And even though maybe their motives are wrong, they have to answer to God, not me. But here's the deal. If the truth of the gospel is really being preached, did you notice that Paul, you know, is right there, he wouldn't rejoice over false gospel being preached. He rejoiced, and again, he said, I rejoice. So you know they were preaching the truth, but they were insincere in the way they did it. They were doing it for selfish ambition. Okay, listen, even if they do that, as long as they preach the truth goes out and people's lives are changed because the Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Whatever the Word of God goes out, it will accomplish. Amen.
Well, once again, we're out of time for today, but please don't miss Love Never Fails on Monday, when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. Thanks, everyone, for listening with us this week. We appreciate you so much. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.